You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey love, welcome to the Selfish Babe podcast, aka Selfish Talk, hosted by me, Olanike OC. Selfish Babe is a personal development and women's lifestyle brand dedicated to women learning how to selfishly and authentically love themselves. On this podcast, expect to have your mind expanded, curse words said, and to gain a new perspective about who the fuck you are. Let's get into it. The Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast is sponsored by my company, Goddess Detox. Goddess Detox is a holistic wellness company dedicated to providing women with self-love inspired products to physically, spiritually, and emotionally detox. If you are a woman wanting to detox her ex, detox negative emotions, as well as to get more in tune with yourself and your vagina, check out our Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, as well as our Queen's Steam and Queen's Throne Combo, which is the in-home vaginal steam set for your convenience. You can find out more information on our products at goddessdetox.org, as well as follow at Goddess Detox on Instagram. Tell them Olanike OC sent you. Hey, Selfish Babe, if you've ever wanted to start your own podcast, I recommend trying Anchor by Spotify. It's the platform I love for podcasting. I really love it because some days you just want to get out what you want to say easily, and the Anchor app allows you to record your podcast right from your phone. One of my favorite things I love about Anchor is that you can add background music to each episode and cut audio quickly to add in advertisements. Anchor will distribute your podcast to all the major platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, and more. Anchor is free. To get started, go to anchor.fm to start your podcast today. Maybe one day you'll be making millions from your podcast.
Hello, my beautiful Selfish Babes. It is your girl, Olanike OC here, bringing you another Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast. And today I have the lovely Miss Chelsea, who is a beauty influencer and YouTuber, here as our guest today. And really, I found her on Instagram. She had posted a video using my other company, Goddess Detox's Queen Steam and Goddess Detox Pearls. And I watched her video on YouTube. And when I had watched her video on YouTube, I was like, oh, wow, I think she needs to be a guest on the Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast. And so we have her today, and so I'm going to have her say hello to you all.
Hi, guys. What's up, Selfish Babes? This is your girl, Chelsea, also known as Chelsea Dolled Up. I'm so excited to be here today to talk to you guys. I'm a little bit nervous, but we're going to let it all out.
And so for my Selfish Babes listening, Chelsea is 23, just so you guys know, have an age range. And in her YouTube video, she had talked about going through a miscarriage, and really specifically a stillborn miscarriage. And I haven't heard about that too often. I've heard about it, right? I think we've all heard about it before, but I haven't actually heard somebody like talk about it or like explain like the process. And so in her YouTube video, she had talked a little bit about it, and I'm like, wow, like I really think a lot more women need to hear about this. And so I'm just so grateful for you, Chelsea, for wanting to share your story and being willing to share your story and being open, honest, and vulnerable. And so if you can kind of take us through that, please do.
Yeah, so I got pregnant when I was 20. And I mean, the pregnancy was going awesome. To be honest, it was kind of like a surprise pregnancy because, you know, you're young. I'm Jamaican, by the way. I'm from the islands. When my mom found out, she was like, what? Like, I'm about to break your neck type situation. But, you know, she finally smoothed her way into the process. We had baby showers, surprise baby showers, doctor visits, and everything was going oh so great. Everything went good, but I start realizing something was wrong or something was just a little bit weird when everybody would ask me like, hey, how far along are you? And I would tell them like 6 months, 7 months, and they'll be like, why do you look so tiny? You know, like you have a 4 month looking stomach, 3 month looking stomach. And I'm like, I don't know, child, I'm just carrying light, you know? Probably won't have to deal with the big stomach afterwards. I thought it was just okay. And I went to my doctor's visit. I think I was 6 months pregnant that time. And I went for just another regular checkup. I think it was about to be an ultrasound. I guess they were going to do like just a full scan. And they did the scan and they said that they realized some white tissue in the baby's brain. And they didn't make sense of it. They didn't really know what it was. So they're going to send me to Orlando. I think it was Winnie Palmer Hospital in Orlando. And they were going to go ahead and just check it out. I didn't really take it as anything. They were like, oh, something to worry about. You know, probably just a little fluid. But, you know, we're just sending you there because they have better equipment to tell what's really going on. Lo and behold, me and my husband went. Thought it was just a regular schmegula update. They call us into the room and then they were like, so it seems that your baby has three holes in his heart. Oh yeah, it wasn't the brain that we're checking out, it was his heart. And then they saw some white spots and they didn't really know what it was. So when I went, they said he had three holes in his heart and he has an extra chromosome, I think it's called, on the 13th chromosome. So eventually they decided to call it trisomy 18. They didn't know for a fact that it was trisomy 18. I guess they wanted to do like an amniocentesis where they would puncture a little hole in my stomach just to get fluid from the baby. It probably could cause me to go into emergency C-section. It could, but the baby passed. And it was kind of like I don't know, the decisions that they started to get, because remind you, I just went for a regular checkup. I didn't know they were going to throw all this at me. Oh, your baby has trisomy 18. He has three holes in his heart. You're going to have to keep coming all the way to Orlando like every week. And I am a whole hour away to get special checkups, listen to his heart, put me on monitors. And it was just super overwhelming. And at one point when they brought me into the room and talked to me about it, they were like, we have various ways to go about it. You can terminate the pregnancy right away, we can go ahead and do that, or if you want, we can do the amniocentesis to check on the baby. But the only thing with that is it can cause you to go into labor, and you're already 6 months going into 7 months. So they weren't really okay with me doing it that route. They were more heading for the you can terminate the pregnancy route. But then I'm looking at it like, wait, hold on, I'm 6 months, seven, eight, nine, I have 3 more months to go. And you guys are just finding out all these things that's happening. You guys trying to tell me you didn't see signs a long time ago. Yeah. I was just overwhelmed by everything that was going on. And I told them, I don't know, I'm just going to trust God by faith. Then, and let's just see what happens. 7 month roll by. Yeah, I don't know.
Chelsea. So at that point, was the baby's heart still beating?
Yeah. Okay. Baby's heart was still beating, everything. He was still kicking, moving. I'd make sure I check on him, push my stomach a little extra harder, and he'll kick back. And, you know, just regular stuff like that. It'll still be beating. It's just that I'd have to go up there like every week to go make sure everything is monitored good. And it was going great. And 7 month rolled past. They said I probably wasn't even going to make it to 7 months because the baby was probably going to pass. And if it did come to life, it was going to be a vegetable baby. I would probably have to take care of it 24/7, monitor it. But my family background is so big on church and God and faith. I was just like, forget what y'all saying. I'm not going to do no extra nothing. I'm not taking no extra pills for nothing, because I don't know if y'all trying to kill me and my baby in the process of it, because it was just everything coming to my brain. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to I'm just going to let it go. Let's see what happens. Because what they really wanted to do, I didn't want to do. Because that would have sent me into the emergency C-section or the labor. And then he would come out being in the NICU and this and that. I just didn't want to go through that. I think what it really was is my disbelief. I don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm kind of like, what? We just didn't have baby showers. We just didn't have all of this. And you're trying to tell me. Everything is
waiting for the baby.
Right. Yes. We're waiting for him to get here now. Like 2 more months is left to go. Yes. And then all of a sudden this is going to happen. So it was kind of like, you know what? We're just going to leave it in God's hands. I'm not worried about it. Let it go. Let it fly. Let whatever happen, happen. So 7th month rollover, and it was about to be in the 8th month. And I was like, okay, good. He survived 7th month. They say he was probably not going to survive. He did it. You normally say 7-month babies aren't good babies.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I've heard that policy, or 7-month baby aren't good babies. And
before, but that's good.
Yeah. And they said, so, and then the 8th month rolled around, and it was July 4th. July 4th is Independence Day, right? Yeah. So July 3rd, we went out that night. Me, my sister, and my husband. Yeah, we went out that night to celebrate or whatever. We just went to watch the fireworks. Everything was good. Everybody came back to my apartment. They were having fun. We were sitting around playing video game, truth or dare, you know, just regular, nice, chill stuff. And I felt a sudden, like, boom, like a hard kick or a hard movement. And to be honest, I sometimes feel him stiffen up and moving around. And you know how baby probably just do sharp kicks? I didn't really take it as anything when he used to always do that. But that specific night, like, I just felt it in my soul. I felt like, I felt that big, huge kick on the 3rd of July. And I was just like, something's wrong. I went to lay down on my side. Yeah. And obviously he's in there, but it was so soft and relaxed.
Huh.
And I didn't really take it as anything. And I got up the next day. I went to work, decided to go use the restroom. And lo and behold, I was bleeding. Yes. So I was like, what? I kind of put last night behind me. So I called my doctor. They said, come in right away. I went in. They started doing checks and stuff. Oh, my God. So they started doing checks and stuff. And they couldn't find a heartbeat. And I was just laying on the bed like, I know what's happening. I know what happened. But it's like, I'm just... I don't know what to say. My husband just lost his only brother 2 weeks before that. Okay. And this was our first child. Okay. And we're sitting there in the hospital. They're looking for the heartbeat. You know what the doctor don't want to tell you? You know, they're not trying to do a shocking face on them, but you could definitely see it. You're looking on the monitor. Normally you see little lines running, but you're not seeing any line running. Wow. And they're like, we're going to call in somebody else to, you know, come in and check it out. Waited a few more minutes later, and somebody else came. They checked it out, whatever. They're like, oh, we're gonna go outside real quick and we'll have the doctor come in and talk to you.
Was your husband with you in that checkup?
Huh?
Was he with you that day, your husband?
Yes. He was with me that day. I think he was at work, and then when I told him I was bleeding, he decided to he left work and he came, and we were there or whatever. And my mom was there as well. And they came in and they said that the baby passed away. Yeah. And I was just like, the baby passed away. My brain. I don't think it hit me until that very same night. They connected me to drips. They weren't going to allow me to. They told me that they gave me an option. They said, do you want to stay that night or do you want to go home? Like, recollect your thoughts and everything, then come back tomorrow to do the process of birthing the child or delivering the stillbirth.
Oh, wow. And they want to do that right away. Like,
yeah, I was like, oh no, if he passed, I don't want him to stay inside of me and you know it being any worse. So just go ahead and do what you got to do. So they hooked me up. They I went into labor because they had to induce me. Oh my God, it's the worst. It is the worst. It's one thing when you have a baby alive and helping these contractions. And it's another thing when you have a lifeless soul inside of you and nothing is helping, but your own body has to finally click into the realization like, hey, so the thing inside of you is not good anymore. So your body need to help and push it out and reject it.
They induced it, like, did the contraction start, or like how, what happened?
Contraction started when they induced me. Contraction started like probably, I went in, let's say 10 a.m. that day. Contractions didn't start to probably around 11, 10, 9 o'clock around there, 11 going down. The contraction started. I wasn't painful forever, but it's one thing when you're just constantly, because you're getting induced. So the pain level is coming, but the baby is not helping pushing down. So you're not, you know, your cervix ain't dilating and nothing is happening. You're just going through the contractions.
Yeah.
I don't know. My mom, everybody started crying. They were like, oh my God, you've been doing this for hours. The next day rolled over. You're still in pain. You're still in labor. And it was just not fair to my body. And my mom was like, you literally probably just need to go ahead and get the epidural. Cause I was in pain.
Yeah.
I was in so much pain. So I got the epidural. I went to sleep. Next thing I know, they were waking me up. The nurse opened my leg. I heard my friend scream. And then they were like, oh my God, there's the baby. Literally.
Did your friend scream?
My friend. Because I had, oh my God, I want to tell you, my support system was so big. Yeah. I had like probably 15 people in that room. Everybody came. They were bringing me flowers. They were bringing me bears. Like, all my friends came. Yeah. They did not want to leave. We had sheets spread out on the floor. Yeah. And the whole community was in there, basically. And I guess they were going to leave or something. Yeah, they were walking out because it was time for them to check me. You know, certain people had to stay in the room. So yeah. I guess on them walking out, my friend named Shay,
yeah,
I don't know. They decided to check me or whatever, and she saw, and then she screamed out, and that was the baby's head coming out. But oh, I don't know. It's so weird because all I remember it is I woke up, they opened my legs, and it was there. I didn't hear push.
Like, did you push? Like what?
Literally, I didn't hear push. I didn't hear come on. You got nothing. I feel like my body just pushed it out because my water broke. Immediately as my water broke, that's when he came out.
Wow.
Yeah. So they woke me up. Immediately my water broke. Then he came out and it was just like, wow. Just this tiny little thing in my hand. He weighed 2 pounds.
Wow.
2 pounds, 0 ounces. And it was like probably 14 inches long.
Wow.
And that was literally it. He had, I don't know, I guess because of him being inside of me so long and with the water breaking or whatever, a part of his skin was missing and it was just pale pink, part of his regular skin's peeling off. And then it just happened, it finished, they cleaned me up, I got out, and immediately, I never ever had problems with like discharge or any of that sort. And immediately after, like probably 2 weeks later, after my breast milk started coming in and we had to get it dried up and all of that stuff, I started having discharge problem. And I was like,
because we're gonna get there. When you said they had to dry it up, how did they do that? Did you have to start taking pills and stuff? Like,
okay, so let me tell you how that happened. So I guess because I don't have I went home, I went to sleep. I totally forgot about breast milk gonna come in after your body realizes the baby's out. Went to sleep, I got up, the whole bed had milk all over it. I was like, whoa, what's going on? You know, I thought baby's lost, nothing's gonna happen. Yeah. So said, so done. And at first my mom was like, try to squeeze it out, get it out, but it hurts so bad because you don't have a baby. You don't have a baby to help pull it out. My arms started swelling up. It was horrible. They said use comb. You know how island people always have some remedy. They always have some remedy to tell you to do something.
Yeah.
They said heat the comb up, use the comb, and press it. Press it around. And then the just started coming out, take a shower and warm bath. And but nothing worked. And then this one girl, my mom's friend, who's from the islands too, she said, get cabbage.
Okay.
Freeze, put the cabbage in the fridge and like peel it off.
Yeah.
Put it on your boob, put your bra on and go to sleep. Oh my God. I tell you, I woke up the next day, so much milk came out.
Wow.
It was kind of like, oh my gosh. She said, this is literally extract the milk from your breast and help to dry it up.
You see, that's a natural remedy, boy.
It worked. Oh my God. Little cabbage.
Yeah.
Like, not a red cabbage, the regular green cabbage.
Yeah.
You cut it in half, put it in the fridge. You know how it starts peeling off the layers?
Yeah.
You just take one of those layers, put it on your raw boob, put your bra on. You probably, if I were you, I would probably stuff it or something
because
you're going to leak a lot.
Yeah.
I used the baby receiver and I stuffed it. I go to bed. I wake up in the mornings. my boobies feeling so good because, like, I can rest my arm now. Yeah. Out. It was just like, oh, my God, all this milk.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. I have a question. After your son was born, so what did you guys decide to do with him or after the delivery?
We decided to cremate him.
Yeah.
So, because my thing was, I didn't want to bury him here in the States. If it was up to me and I was still back home in Jamaica, I would probably bury him. Yeah. But I just didn't want him to be buried here. I wanted to have him with me 24/7.
Got it. And
so I was like, we're going to cremate him. So to this day, I'm like looking right there because he's like right there looking at me. Yeah. I have him in like a little crematory, a little nice vase, yeah. Looking cute over there sitting. But yeah, we decided to cremate him, and that process on his own was a little rough because I don't know because he was kind of big-ish in a way, and then they gave me this little bottle of dust, and I'm like, is this on my baby?
Yeah.
Like, is this it? In a little box, and I just asked him to put it in one of those, I don't know what they're called, the stuff. Yeah.
For some women, when they have, like, miscarriages, they'll say, like, okay, or angel baby. Yeah, they call, like, their angel baby. And mm-hmm. I know one woman, I had a different podcast, but it was on the other aspect where I had an episode about abortion. And mm-hmm. one woman, I think she had, like, multiple abortions. But mm-hmm. at some point, she was really diving into her spirituality. This spirituality is not Christian. It's just a different type of spirituality. And I think she got a reading from somebody, but she was able to interact, like, her soul babies, like her daughter was able to see her soul babies, if that makes sense. Some people have psychic ability, some people are seers, some people can see spirit. And so yeah. Her daughter was able to see her siblings, essentially. Mm-hmm. And after the mom had acknowledged them, I think Kendall or something acknowledged them, they stopped messing with her because they were messing with that sibling. I don't know if it's because, you know, she was there and they weren't there. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. They had talked about that. And so you have like an angel baby. It's like, I would say it's your angel baby. And mm-hmm. like, from my personal perspective, it's like the fact that you're talking about your son, you're like, oh, he's right there looking cute. I think that's good because it's like you acknowledge that the soul still existed. You acknowledge it even in the afterlife, he's still existing. And so people say, like, angel baby, they understand that angel baby still walks with them, whether they're in a physical world with them, that doesn't matter. It's the fact that their soul still existed here at some point. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's cool that you have mentioned that. So I just want to make sure I point
out. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Sometimes I'll literally go over there, pick him up, and we're talking. And then on his birthdays, I'll literally bring him to the beach. And I'm like, one day I feel like I want to let you just fly because I feel like I'm holding you. But I don't know, I'm not ready. You're not 18 yet, you're not going nowhere, you're just gonna sit right there keep looking at me until you're 18. You can go ahead and do your own grown man stuff. But for now,
we're just gonna keep chilling.
So he's definitely still a part of me. And yeah. Even after I had my other son, he's definitely still a part of it. I wasn't nervous like, what if Malachi is gonna affair with King? Like, it was never nothing, like, you know, I don't know. And it's so crazy because I really do feel like Malachi's spirit came into King because they look so much alike. And I'm like, did God just re-bless me or what? Because I don't know. He did. I feel like he did. And I'm just like, okay, I'm taking it.
I like that. Everything. Your first baby, the one that we're talking about right now, that was your first child, correct?
Yes, yes.
And now you have another child?
Yes, yes. I got, and you know what's so funny? King, the one that's born now, it was kind of like, that's, his birth made me somewhat better about what happened with Malachi, because I feel like I was never, ever going to be able to, I'm not fully healed, but with me having, not really saying he's a replacement, but with me having another child, it made it so much better. It makes it so kind of easier to transition through whatever I've been through and all of that. Because there were days and nights, like I said, we had his room ready, closet full of clothes. I used to literally nights go in there, looks. I'm standing in there like, yo, you have a whole closet. I have newborn this, everything for baby, and I have no baby here to give it to, and changing no diapers, and getting up mad early in the mornings, doing this, doing that. Like, God, I need something or someone to replace this feeling, because I cannot do this.
Yeah.
I can't. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then when I found out I was pregnant again, it was a nervous pregnant. It was kind of like, oh my God, please don't let me go through this again. Like, if this is what you're going to let me go through, at least let me have the miscarriage earlier on in the pregnancy. Don't take me through a big belly, maternity pictures, like everything. Don't take me through that again, because I really don't know if I could, you know, I don't know how I could handle that one more time.
Yeah.
Like, if this is what it's going to be, let it happen sooner on, like 4 weeks. Just let it happen soon and don't let it happen that late. He came.
I was going to say, how did you navigate that pregnancy? Did you feel like you were a little bit more hush-hush about it? Like, how was it when you, like, after 4 weeks, after 4 months, like, how were you, like, oh, we're still going to do a baby shower? Are we not going to tell as many people? Like, how were you with that second
pregnancy? Yeah, definitely. I was definitely was hush-hush in a way, and I didn't want no baby shower. I didn't want nothing. Not just because I found out it was a boy and I already had a whole bunch of boy stuff, but I just really wanted it to be low-key, intimate family, because I'm preparing this time.
Yeah.
You know, not to blow it up, let everybody know, and then when no baby show up, I'm keeping getting messages back. They're like, hey, where's the baby? How are you doing? Sorry for your loss. I don't want that again.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for, you know, caring and stuff, but it gets overwhelming at times.
Yeah.
So I just really wanted it to be very, very close. If and when he does get here, then, you know, if we got to post it, we post it. If we got to tell other families, then we'll tell other families. But for now, it was very intimate. It was very just us, the immediate family. And yeah, good old King.
You had a vaginal birth? You had a C-section?
No, that's the next thing. I had to do an emergency C-section.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. How far along were you?
I had to do an emergency C-section. I went through my whole, to be honest, I even passed my due date. I went a week past my due date. I was so mad. I'm like, no, we're getting out now. So I've been doing any and everything possible we could to get out. And I went in. To be honest, I wasn't even going to go in that night that I was due. My friend came over and she was like, you've been in pain for the past however many hours. I feel like you need to go. And my husband was like, okay, you know what, we're just gonna get up and we're just gonna go. I went and we were there because my contractions, you know how they normally say your contractions need to be 5 minutes apart or consistent or something like that. I called, they were never consistent. Sometimes they're 2 minutes, sometimes they're 5 minutes, 12 minutes. So I was like, I'm not gonna go, and they send me back home and I'm gonna get irritated.
Yeah.
So I went, they checked me, they were like, you're 9 centimeters dilated.
Wow.
It's time for you to like actually be pushing. How are you not screaming? How are you just so calm being 9 centimeters dilated?
Because,
I don't know, the pain wasn't really, really that horrible like everybody say it is.
Yeah.
So they were like, did your water break? And I'm like, no. And lo and behold, my water bin broke. I never knew that it broke because I don't even know how. Until this day, I don't know how my water broke. Nothing happened. I didn't wet my bed, nothing to say, hey, that was the water and you didn't just wet your bed. I don't know. And they were like, oh, because I was having yellowish discharge, yellow and greenish discharge. And I would tell my doctor about it. And he was like, oh, it's probably normal. That's your, I forgot the word that he says, my mucus plug. Mucus plug is pulling or whatever. He checked me the day before and he said, oh, you're not even starting to dilate yet.
Okay.
I'm like, are you kidding me? So I went the next day, went home, sleep, everything, and boom, it was labor time. I went to the hospital. They're like, oh my God, you're 9 centimeters dilated, but due to the fact that your water didn't break and all these yellowish mucus discharge, that's a sign that the baby pooped inside of you, and the cord is wrapped around his neck.
Wow.
You know, normally babies poop inside of you, they eat the poop, they can die. So
oh my God,
they had to. Yeah, so they had to bring me in the emergency C-section. They weren't going to allow me to push him out. I did the C-section. They took him. They, you know, plucked it out, whatever. See if, you know, they make sure they check him thoroughly to make sure that he didn't.
They didn't have to unwrap the cord?
Yeah, they had to unwrap. Okay. Yeah, they had to do all of that because the cord was wrapped around his neck. There weren't enough fluid in there, and they said he did poop inside of me. I don't know how it was. I literally, when they were rolling me, because it's 2 seconds, I went in there, they checked me, they're like, ooh, 9 centimeters, and it's kind of like, oh, C-section. So I'm just like, whoa, is this another one of those things? Like, God, did you really bring me this far again to really let this happen? Like, everything's been so super smooth with this one. Like, we made it to the 9 months. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Now I'm going into emergency C-section. My baby pooped inside, probably could have eaten his poop, died. And it went through. They had to hurry up. Like, when I tell you they had to hurry up, I felt the first incision. That's how bad they had to hurry up. They didn't wait for me to be fully, fully numb. They had to hurry up. The doctor behind me, he was like, okay, I'm going to triple dose her, because the dose that I was getting, they kept tapping me. They're like, are you feeling this? Are you feeling this? And I'm like, yep, still feeling it. I mean, it's getting lighter and lighter. And then the doctor behind me, literally, I've never heard a doctor cuss in my life. He was like, F it, cut her now. I'm like, oh, my God. Cut me. He said, F it, cut her now. I'm double dosing her. And I felt a huge drilling in my back. So I guess that was like the extra double dose he was giving me. After that, I felt the first cut and I was like, ow, I felt that. He's like, cut, just keep going, cut, girl.
You felt it? Was it like a sharp pain or was it numb?
No, I felt the incision. I felt them cut. I felt a knife. You know, you cut your hand gosh. Trying to cut.
Yes. Wow.
Yes. I felt the first slice. And then after that, I didn't feel anything else. All of me was dead. I didn't feel nothing. The next thing I felt was a huge pressure of them pushing down on my stomach. And then I heard a cry. And like, all my pain just went away. And I was just like, is my baby okay? That's all I was on. After they got me back in the room and everything was good and I get to hold him, they're finally telling me, like, your baby is literally a miracle baby. Like, your child, he did, in fact, eat his feces, but they said they pumped his stomach real well and he was okay. And literally, if I had stayed and not come a minute later, he would have passed away. And I'm just like, Jesus.
Wow.
That would have been my life right there. Just over. I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad the miracle baby came through.
I'm telling you, my miracle baby came through. And he's been here. I had another pregnancy and I had an early miscarriage in that one after King.
Yeah.
So I really now feel like he's supposed to be the one man in my life.
When was that miscarriage?
It was a few months ago, actually. It was probably like 3 months ago, and that was the main reason too. That was one of the main reasons why I felt like I really needed to get this team, because I'm like, okay, you know what, forget it. I'm having all these pregnancy problems here and there.
Yeah.
If it ain't from stillbirth to my miracle baby almost gone to finding out I'm pregnant after that again and early miscarriage, so I'm just like, something need to happen.
Okay, because you had mentioned in the beginning the first one, Malachi.
Yes.
You had mentioned Malachi. You had said that were having discharge after.
Yes. I started having a whole bunch of discharge problem. Odors started coming. And I'm just like, this is not me. I feel weird. I feel nasty in a way. Like, I know it's normal for females. You know, the vagina clean itself. Okay, we get it. You're supposed to have probably a little discharge here and there. But I've never been used to that. I don't know what that's about. I went to my OB and he's like, you know, you're just probably having heavier discharge because of, you know, your body probably coming back or whatever he was saying. I really wasn't listening because I'm like, you're really kind of not making any sense. Sex started becoming super painful. And I'm like, something is definitely wrong with me down there. Something is definitely wrong. Like, when has sex ever been painful? When have I ever have to live in panty liners? This is just not me. Something wrong.
Yeah.
And we need to fix it. And I've just been pushing it off, because it was, again, in the stage of me, you know, going through the whole stillbirth, not caring about myself, my health, none of that. I really didn't care. I kept pushing it off. It went away for a few, or it simmered down a little bit, but it never fully left, where I'm like, oh, I forgot I even had this discharge problem anymore, you know? Yeah. Like, the painful sex kept happening. Then after King, it kind of came back.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, do I need them to run, like, a pee test to see if I'm having an ovary problem? Sometimes I feel like my womb is so heavy down. Mm. Heavy. I don't know. It feels heavy. Yeah. It feels so heavily weighed down. Like, I'm about to look one day and my whole ovary will fall out. Like, this is how I feel. Like, I'm walking with a heavy load on me. Yeah. And it felt so uncomfortable, so bad. I tried using regular Walgreens, Walmart stuff, you know, feminine stuff, all of that. I started getting into that. And I'm just like, bro, none of these are working. Yeah. Like, I'm still having heavy behind discharges. And it's not like the odor left. Cause the odor only probably lasted like a week, 2 weeks. And I'm so, I don't know. Child, this is my best friend we talking about. Best friend was forever good, and we need to keep her forever good.
So I
don't know. I stumbled upon a whole bunch of stuff. To be honest, like, I've been looking at your products for forever. And I've just been like, what? People showing all these stuff, and I'm like, whoa.
Some of those photos.
I was kind of like, I don't think I want to do this. This is intense, because I'm afraid, I'm nervous. Because like I said, like, this best friend, I don't want to put nothing in her that's going to hurt her even worse. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? It's about time. Like, let's just wait for this Black Friday sale to roll around. And we're going to go ahead, order our steam, order our pearls. And it's so funny.
You know, you ordered the Queen's Vaginal Steam and the Goddess Detox Pearls from goddessdetox.org. Gotta put that in there. Okay, that's where you're from. Thank you.
Yes, the Goddess Detox Pearl and the steam save lives. It save your best friends. It does. Like, oh my God, I was so shook. Like, these, and you know what's so funny? The main person that really made me decide to get it is this famous YouTuber, what's her name? Carla? Her name was like Princess Bella first on Instagram, and then she changed over.
Carla Toby. She changed to Carla Toby, right? Yes.
She changed over to Carla, because I watch her a lot.
Nice.
And I was like, one of my favorite YouTuber decided to get this? Okay, let me go ahead and see what Queen Steam's about. You little code. And I got it, and to be honest, I was very excited to do the steam part. Yeah. The pearl part is where I was scared about. I was very excited about doing the steam. So I did the steam like in around December, right after my cycle. I did the steam, and oh my God, it was awesome. The steam was it felt so good.
I'm glad.
So good. The steam was good. I felt like I'm in my like Zen mode. I'm over here. And the coolest thing was I love the hand flip. Like, I literally love that. I love the canceling out these X's. Like, so dope. I love it. I'm like, oh my God, let's get this, sis. It was so good. It felt so good. And then the thing was, like, I was so anxious about it. I really wanted to make, like a review about it instantly. But then I'm like, no, you can't really make a review until probably, like, a few months later to see if it... Because it'll probably work and work now. And then 2 weeks later, it's still working. But then a month later, you're going back. So you really don't want to make a review and then it be false stuff. Yeah. And so I really wanted to hold out a little bit before I did my review. So I did the steam. And then I waited 2 weeks later. And then I did the pearl, girl. Yeah. The pearl. the pearl. Oh my God. I was so nervous. Yes. I was scared. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm putting herbs inside of my body. Like, What if the little thing unravels? Like, what's gonna happen to me?
Yeah.
I was so nervous. I was like, you know what? Listen, we've asked for a change. You need these heavy. You need everything, because it was for the discharge. It was for the heavy period, and it was because my ovaries literally felt like sometimes they were on fire. They were like weighing down on my womb so much that I just needed her to feel great.
Yes,
again.
Yes.
So it was for all of that, and I did it. It went in pretty decently. I did the whole, you know, you take it out after, then you wait 3 days and check it out again, and the purging is supposed to happen. When it was around the purging time, I was like, oh my God. I'm like so nervous right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna be one of those ones with the big, you know, everything. You know how you guys are literally on here reviewing and seeing everything that people be showing. I really thought I was gonna have one of those greater huge deals of it, but I didn't have it so great. The part that came good was the discharge part, and I was shook, and I was like, oh Jesus. This is one of the main reasons for the discharges, because a girl tired of wearing panty liners outside of it. So I had like huge clots of white, just white stuff. I didn't have no like blood cells or none of that. Yeah, it was none of that. It was mostly just huge white clots, and I'm like, is this it? Because I feel like it's supposed to be more. Mm-hmm. And then I waited, and then it happened again. And I was like, oh my God. So after it happened, I'm like, here we go. Another one of those, you know? Probably gonna be another one of those stuff. It's gonna come back in like 2 weeks or so. But I felt great. Like, I'm out here walking around in no panty liners, and I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Feel like something's missing. You know when you feel like something's missing?
Because you're used to wearing them so much.
Right, you're not used to wearing it anymore. So it's kind of like something's definitely missing. But then you're like, no, sis, you're good. You got this goddess queen thing. You got the pearls. You done got fixed. Yeah. And it's just like, wow, I'm not feeling anymore. I have yet, I can't tell the last time I really felt huge ovary pains, or like my ovaries are just weighing down on my cervix or whatever. I don't know. Normally, I feel like my OB is probably like, why isn't she blowing up my phone every 2 weeks now? You know what I'm saying? Because I don't need to call you anymore. I found the cure. You get what I'm saying? Goddess came through. So I found the cure. Goddess came through. I don't need to call you anymore. Trying to be like, hey, I think I really need to come in because something's up. But whatever you put in them things, child. Keep putting them in them things, because it is working. It has worked, and it is going to work for whomever else is out there that's going through this that need it to work. Trust me.
I love it. You have a discount code, and it's
CHELZ. Yes, CHELZ.
10% off on either products from goddessdetox.org. You can use her discount code, which is CHELZ, to go ahead and make your purchase. So I had
no Yes. Yes,
you got in the system.
Mm-hmm. We can definitely do that. And I have some more products. I'm going to do giveaways with them too.
Yes,
y'all. So I'm going to definitely do that.
YouTube, and her YouTube is Chels Dolled Up. I'm going to be linking it in the description so they can click on it automatically. But it's at CHELZDOLLEDUP. So Chels Dolled Up. That's Instagram and YouTube, right?
Yep, got it. She got it.
And she gonna teach y'all how to do some makeup, because she be doing some good makeup.
Yes, sis. Yes, I'm here for the natural 4C here. You know that big girl type, royal kinky. Don't know how to deal with your hair and that makeup. Everything, all life dealing with literally.
I love it.
It's a ball over there in the Chelsea land.
Thank you so much for sharing. I have a question. So, when did you get married?
When did I get married? I got married after my stillbirth. It was in the same year, the 16th, 2016. I got married December 1st, 2016. I was 21.
Okay. Still married with this person?
Girl, no. Well, by law, we are still married, but... Yeah, we literally, he just packed his junk last night, and I'm leaving 3 days or so. It's a toxic when you, I don't know, here's the thing, because yeah. I've been through a whole bunch of domestic violence with this guy, and yeah. it's kind of like I feel like in some way him/myself have brainwashed me into sitting through crap. Because even when I was pregnant with my first pregnancy, I cannot forget this man dragging me across the floor from out of the room, knowing after we found out that our baby is having problems and stuff like that. You're pushing me, dragging me out of the room. We fight in over stupid stuff, accusations of what have you. Mm-hmm. Like, men, everything. Yeah. And accusing me of everything in the book. You're looking for receipts, can't find receipts. Even when you do find something, it's really nothing. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it got so overwhelming to the point where I started thinking about it in my head, like, girl, this man probably really loves you. He ain't never had no type of relationship like this, you know? So he just wants to make sure that you're not making him look bad in certain ways. So that's probably why he's acting the way he's acting and coming off super violent, the way he's coming off super violent. Cause I mean, he's been hands-on before, but it started being so much worse after his brother passed. And then we lost our child. So I'm not trying to put that in as an excuse, but it did bring it as a part of why it got probably so worse in a way. It kind of really did.
That was happening before your pregnancy as well?
It happened before the pregnancy a few times, but it was just brush your shoulder off, maybe it ain't gonna happen again type stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool, no problem, never mind, we just go make it work. And it happened again, call the cops on him. Then my stupid self went to this, because I guess you can, after you call cops on them to do charges, you can go to a class, write a letter, you know, stating why you feel like you want to drop the charges, show up at his hearing, stand up, speak on his behalf. You know, I did all of that. The two times I called the cops on him, and I'm just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? The first time I really started realizing that I've somewhat been brainwashed in a way is when I went to work with a whole black eye.
Wow.
I went to work with a whole black eye, and my excuse was I was lifting weights and the weight thing fell on me and hit me in the face. And my friend, and my friend Ruth, she's so smart. She's like, okay. She's like, oh, okay. I'm just going to sit here and wait for you to literally tell me exactly what happened, because I know what happened, but I'm just waiting for you to tell me exactly what happened. Like, my eye was black, and then my mouth was literally split right here because he used the phone.
Wow.
I don't know. I gave him my phone for something. I don't know what I gave him my phone for. I gave him my phone for something. And you ever had, not everybody on your, I don't know how some people are, but you're young. You have people that you just add on Facebook just to add on Facebook because you want extra Facebook followers or extra Facebook friends when Facebook was in. So I'm just adding away, accepting requests. And then you have these corny behind people that'll come trying to be all in your inbox, trying to talk to you, you know? And you're ignoring them. And you're ignoring them, thinking they'll just leave. And then here come one, I handed my phone, and it just happened that during the time that I handed them my phone, a notification popped up. Okay, you have all rights and regulations. You want to look? I mean, no, you don't, because it's my phone. But if you want to look, I'm giving it to you. Looking, you're realizing there's nothing but all messages from this person, no message from me. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you stupid or what? It's a Indian people from, you know, those, I don't know, but it's always these weird people that don't speak English that want to be in your inbox trying to be messy or what have you. I don't know. The next thing I know is he was on the phone with his friend. The next thing I know is I just felt the whole phone in my face.
Wow.
That's all I remember, the whole phone in my face. And I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the worst human being, because when it comes to our son, he's an amazing dad. I'm never gonna take that away from him. But as far as me and him, we just don't click. I feel like I've allowed way too much to happen. I've allowed I've allowed everything. I've allowed control. I lost a whole bunch of friends, both male and female, because of you. Like, even some really good, genuine friends, male friends, that you're sitting right here, they calling me, I'm on the phone with them while you're here. It's because they know fishy stuff. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, but I don't know. I guess you came to all men that came before you that were just my friends should just disappear. And then I made it happen. I made it disappear. And then the female friends that I have, if he don't like certain ways and certain of them, it's kind of like, you know, so my female friends, you know, I used to, you know, I'm a fun, bubble, nice little Jamaican chick out here. You feel me? We bubbly. We go to parties. We enjoy ourselves. Like, stuff got to be to a minimum. If you ain't coming with me, it's kind of like, I can't go if you don't go situation. Like, I'm not saying he's saying, oh, you got to stay in the house. I'm staying in the house.
Yeah.
But if I do go, it's a whole attitude. It's a whole, you know what I'm saying? Who was y'all around? Or, you know, it's a whole attitude. So that made me want to just be like, I'm just not going to go. Because I already know what I'm going to come back home to.
Yeah.
Like, there was, I remember a day when I decided to, I was off that day. He went to work. And I was at home, my friend texted me, this coworker that I had, and she was like, hey, you want to go to, I forgot what the rest, Five Guys, something, no, not Five Guys, Fridays, TGI Fridays, to go, because they're having, like, appetizer or whatever, and I was like, oh, okay, unlimited appetizers, I was like, oh, okay, cool, I'll go. We weren't cool, that's me and my husband, we weren't cool, and I was at home, it's my day off, my friend texted me out of the random, saying, hey, you want to go out? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go out, have lunch. Whatever, we're there, we're eating or whatever. Mind you, me and him aren't cool. I took it up on myself to text you and say, hey, you want me to bring me, because I was close to his job.
Yeah.
I decided to text him and say, hey, you want me to bring you some lunch or something to eat because I'm out on the road. And I told him where I was. And he's like, oh, no, or sure. Something, trying to be petty about it.
Yeah.
Got home tonight, didn't really think much of it. A whole questioning, a whole, oh, why you didn't tell me you was going out before you went out type situation. And I'm like, I told you when I was there that I'm there. You know, it wasn't like it was a, oh, you planned this out and you waited the moment you left out to tell me that you was going out when you was going out. And I don't know if he just started going off. And then before you know it, we were physically fighting.
Mm.
Like physically, I think I was pregnant this time. I think I don't really remember if I was pregnant, but I think, and yes, I was pregnant. He held me down in the bed, held me over, choked me. And I feel like that was the day I literally called the cops. I think it was that day I decided to call the cops or whatever. But I don't know, girl. I've had guns put to my head. I've had knives held to my throat. Yep. Yep. Oh. I've had that shit. Like, his friends decided probably to lend him what have you. Held it to my head. One time, I guess he came home with a toy gun and we weren't really talking and he made it seem like it was a real gun. It was a toy gun at first and he turned the light off and you know, like, he makes me so afraid of him.
Yeah.
In a sense. Like, certain things you're not supposed to joke about. Like, me and you are arguing, you come in, I know you're probably off that life or that background or what have you, but when you decide to bring it in to your home and to your family, like, you don't expect me to be afraid. And then when I get afraid of you and tell you, like, yo, I'm not comfortable being in here with you because I can't be with somebody that I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
That don't make no sense. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'm, let's say I'm on my phone right now talking to my friend, like, I'm just talking to you, chilling. I heard the door coming. Girl, I'm so quick to hang this phone up.
Wow.
I'm so, because I'm just, I get anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, I don't want him to come in here. And then it's going to be questioning, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be a long street of every damn thing. And it's probably like, I just don't want to deal with it. If I'm on my phone and I'm just scrolling, surfing the net or whatever, and he's coming in, I'll just shut it off and start watching the TV or something. But then in my brain, I'm thinking, like, that's going to make you look so much more suspicious, like you're hiding something.
Hmm.
But if you don't, it's going to be like, oh, who you want here texting? Who you sitting up in here with? Like, bro, it's my phone. I'm just scrolling. I can't be on my phone. And when I'm not on my phone, it's kind of like, oh, you don't want to be on your phone around me because you're probably hiding something. Which one is it? Which one do you want me to do? Do you want me to be on the phone? Do you want me to not be on the phone? Like,
yeah, I've been together for like two years,
No, we've been together since 2015, early 2016. No, I'm lying. 2015. Yeah, 4 years. Yeah.
I mean, some of the things that you're saying, Chelsea, it's just like, I just want to make these things very highlighted for mm-hmm. selfish babes that are listening. Because you talked about, you know, having a sense of somebody's controlling you, right? Mm-hmm. Coming up with excuses multiple times as to why this person must be hurting you physically, right? Mm-hmm. And then friends seeing signs of physical abuse and then you lying and then they're like, they see through the PS, right? Mm-hmm. And then also the sense of anxiety, right? The sense of anxiety, like you can't freely be in your home doing whatever the hell you want to do. It's like almost being like a five-year-old and a domineering parent, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this is a relationship with two independent individuals who are free to do whatever the fuck they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to highlight those things for the selfish babe listening. It's just like those are some classic signs of domestic abuse, of a domestic violence. And you had even said it yourself, of you even having coming up with, oh, maybe I made him mad because of this or this and that. And it's just like, even, you know, yeah, granted, he may have been going through his own stuff with his brother passing and the child passing, right? Granted those things. But it's like, you don't take out your anger on people. You don't take out your anger on people you love, especially not in a physical way. So it's like, again, it's self-accountability. He's a grown-ass man. He needs to deal with that in a different way. Maybe going to therapy, maybe some other things. But obviously, when it comes to relationships or the relationship that you guys had, it was like you were the person who would take out his anger on a sense of control. And he felt like things were going out of control. And for him, it was a sense of control. That's not an excuse, because that's wrong. But I just wanted to make sure I pointed those things out to the selfish babes listening, because that's not a relationship you want to be in. And I can tell you this now, that there are other people out there, men, good men, or good females, depending on your sexuality, that are gonna treat you a whole lot better. And you won't have to come up with the excuses as to why they're doing certain things to you that are physically harming you, and especially physically harming you when you were fucking pregnant. And that's a whole other fucking thing. I'm glad that he's a great fat father, and I'm glad that he's taking care of his son. I think that's wonderful. But it's just like, in terms of you, honoring you as the woman, honoring you as the vessel that brought through this son, that's different. It's just like, what men have to honor women. It's just a thing, like, especially if you're bringing in the child that they want, you know, they're like happy and joyous for this child, this baby to come forth. So I'm really glad that you are leaving the relationship. I'm affirming that you stay out of that relationship. I know that sometimes there's a lot of back and forth, right? And I know in the past there was some back and forth. And so I'm affirming that you continue to leave that relationship and stay out of it, and just keep it very cordial of, you know, he's the child's father, that's cool. But in terms of romantic relationships, you really deserve a lot better. And I know that there is definitely a man or woman out there. Again, I'm in a relationship with a woman, even though I'm bi. I've been in a relationship with a man, so that's why I'm saying men or women. But affirming that there will be another guy out there, and I know that there's other men out there that would love to have you at some point when you're ready for something like that.
Right.
But that's just no excuse. It's just no excuse. You know, it's self-accountability. We are grown-ass people who have to take accountability for our lives. And so I'm glad that you are deciding, you know, to end that relationship. What else I was going to say? There's something else I was going to say. Do you have the Selfish Babe app?
No, I need to download it.
Yeah, download it.
Definitely.
A lot of women that have told me, you know, they were able to leave domestic relationships because domestic abusive relationships because of the Selfish Babe app. It helped to boost their confidence. Some of them were going through postpartum depression, and so the app has really helped them a lot in terms of the daily affirmations and notifications. I'll definitely recommend that you download it to have it. But yes, love, I just want to say thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate it. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for your vulnerability, and, you know, continue being a great mom. And I just want to thank you really just for sharing your story on YouTube and tagging up Guys Detox on Instagram and talking about how the products have helped you. You know, I think that your story is and will continue to help another selfish babe or goddess detox babe, another woman who is listening to this podcast. And so I'm just so happy to have shared that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel like, I don't know, but the more I talk about it, the more I feel like it's healing.
Yeah.
You know how some people, like, you really need to talk about certain things. I know you probably just don't want to keep going over it or keep crying about it or keep, you know, defending your side or whatever stories or whatever the situation might be. But talking about it literally helps. It helps. Like, right now, I feel so good trying to get this off my chest. Because you don't want to ball it up inside of you and keep it. Because you never know. Your struggle story can be somebody else, could be helping somebody else out there. Yeah, it could definitely be doing that. And I found that out, that literally. You can see good face and good all of this and don't know what people are going through until you open your mouth. And then you're probably like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you don't look like nothing you've been through. And child, I'm not ready to show it.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say, you know, I had gotten married at 19, and I had married a Jamaican guy I had knew in high school. Well, he didn't go to my high school, we just worked together. But at some point, he had moved up to Tallahassee with me, we were going to school, and I got divorced at 24. And at one point, we had gotten into a really bad argument. Like, we didn't have signs, like, I didn't see signs of like domestic abuse, because that's not what, now what I would call it. I know sometimes we get into arguments and he may throw some things or he's having treatment. It wouldn't necessarily be anything physical. And so one time, I had mentioned this in my podcast earlier in a different episode, but I was getting ready for school. I was in grad school at the time. I had all these paper packets on the couch. He got out the room and he started throwing my paper packet over somewhere else. And I'm like, why are you throwing the paper packet? He was like, you know that I sit here on this side of the couch. Like, he was mad the paper packets were on his side of the couch, quote unquote. And so we got into a really big argument. And at one point I had, and I tell people this to just get I had kicked a hole in the door, but the wood was very frail. And I say this because I'm not saying that put me off the hook. I, you know, kicked the hole to the guy's door, but the wood was soft, okay? So I'm gonna say that. And then at one point we're in the room and he had put his arms around my neck and pulled me down to the ground. And I'm very specific when I say this. So when he did that, he was not choking me. Like, it wasn't, I'm choking you. But he was pulling me down by the neck. Yeah. And so at that point I had just went to school as normal, did my thing, had told some friends about it. And they're like, oh, you're not scared, or, you know, you're going to go back. And I wasn't afraid of him. I was not fearful of him. I was like, it's not going to happen again. But then I had this thought, and my thought was, you know, well, if I had a daughter, would I want her to be in this relationship? And or would I want her to go through this situation? And if she was going through this exact situation, what would I be telling her? And my thought was, if she was going through this situation, I would tell her that she should not be in that relationship. I understand, yes, it was one time. Yes, he did not, quote unquote, choke, but he did use his physical hands on me. And so for me, I would tell my daughter that. And at some point later on in the years, I was like, well, why did I have to put somebody else in place of me as if I have no value? I don't have no kids right now. So at the moment, it was like, for me to even understand my value in that moment, I had to put myself outside of the situation, and I had to pretend if I had a daughter, and if I had a daughter, what would I want her to do? Now I'm in a space where I have a lot of self-worth and value of myself that I don't need to do that. But for some women that are listening, and if you need to do that, then really visualize that. If you had a daughter going through what you're going through right now in your relationship, would you want her in that relationship? If the answer is no, then you need to get the fuck out. That's just what the answer is. It don't matter. There will always be better, and you have to affirm better, and you have to believe better. A lot of women don't think that they can change their circumstances, but they certainly can. It's understanding that you have the own power to create your reality. And a lot of times when we're letting go of old relationships and just letting go of things that we're used to and very comfortable, it will be uncomfortable. But understand that you are making the best decision for yourself so that you can see a better reality for yourself. But in order to see a better reality for yourself, you're going to have to make changes, such as letting go of toxic partnerships, like abusive relationships. And so, yes, it was like that one time, but I'm so glad that I did decide to leave that one time, because I've been in two other relationships, beautiful. One with a guy that was really beautiful. He did not like my rowdiness. I was very loud. Anytime we argued and wanted to fight, he didn't. He was not for that. He almost broke up with me, and I had to stop him from breaking up with me because I had to learn how to be a good partner, because I was so used to being rowdy. Because I was used to being with somebody that was rowdy when we fought, you know, and that's not what he wanted. And so I learned, and now, you know, I had ended that relationship not because of anything wrong. It was just that I didn't feel like we were a good fit. Still wonderful friends, though. And I'm in a new relationship with a wonderful woman, and I enjoy our relationship very much. very much so that I'm honored and I'm respected and I'm loved. And so what I'm saying that I, when I say from my words, from my mouth, that yes, you will have another person that will love you and that will honor you. I'm saying that like with truth, like that's not a lie. Like I know this for a fact. And yeah. So I just really wanted to make sure that I said that for any of the selfish babes listening that may be going through a domestic abusive relationship, there is better out there, but you have to choose better for yourself. And you start by choosing better for yourself by making some different actions in your life.
That is so
my true. Talk.
Word.
So yes, ma'am. But lovely Chelsea, I just want to say thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate your spirit. I know that your story is going to help many, many women. And so I want you to say, if you have any last words you want to tell our selfish babes, please do so now.
Listen, live in your truth. Listen to the inner voice inside of your head. Stop making excuses for people's actions. Literally, if they want to say you're selfish, then go ahead and be selfish. Selfish babes, that's what your name is. Love yourself. Live in your truth. That's all I have to say. Live in your truth. Whatever you want to do, the sky's the limit. Reach for it. Go ahead and explore the world. At the end of the day, you only have one life to live. Live it and love it. Don't just live it to live it and be comfortable. Live it and love it. Don't try to minimize yourself and your happiness for anybody. Because at the end of the day, you're unhappy because their happiness. No. Live your life however you want to live your life in your truth. And that's just it.
Ashe. Thank you, beautiful.
Hey, beautiful. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast. If you feel like this episode has helped you in any way and you think that it could be impactful to a girl or a woman that you know, definitely send this episode to her. Also, make sure to download our Selfish Babe app to receive self-love inspirational messages throughout your day, found in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. You can also head over to our website, selfishbabe.com, to join the community. Follow at Selfish Babes with an S on Instagram, or you can also follow me on Instagram at Olenike Elsie. I affirm that you have an amazing day. I will connect with you on the next episode, and I love you. Mwah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.